Geico makes it easy to get affordable renter's insurance in as little as 90 seconds. That way, you have more energy for harder things, like the laundry. Why is it so difficult to fold clothes? They just end up wrinkly anyway, or on the floor in a pile that just sits there, taunting you. But with renter's insurance through Geico, at least you know that those clothes and the other things you love are covered. Get more with Geico.
So today is a surprise episode. It's a Hometown Macabre episode. What's up, looky-loos, freaky friends, deadly darlings, macabre hotties, listeners. Welcome to Macabre, a dark history podcast. I'm Blair.
I'm Hallie.
If you're new here, howdy.
Welcome
we've
in.
We've not used that way. Yeah, come on in. We're so happy you came to hang out with us. So thank you very much for choosing us as your entertainment of the hour. Now, remember, this show, not for the faint of heart. And negative energy is definitely not allowed. So grab the disinfectant. We need it around here because people be sicky sick and because we're going to do some housekeeping. If you want a little more from us, we are on Patreon where you can listen early and ad free. We also have a private Facebook group where you can hang out with more of our amazing listeners. Join the fam. If you like what you're hearing, please leave a rating and review on your favorite podcast platform. And tell a friend. Mention it while you're sweating in a sauna. Scream it at a concert. Whatever brings you joy, just spread the word.
If we could just spread the word like STDs, we'd be in good shape.
Oh, yeah, for real. For real. If we could spread it like whatever the heck is going
on like
in the air.
Like glitter. Because that sticks to everything. Yeah.
It does. It does. And it's pretty.
That's true.
If only we would like glitter. Today is a Hometown Macabre. If you didn't catch that, maybe I didn't even say it. I don't know. That's the kind of day it's been.
It's been a day.
It has been a day. Today is a Hometown Macabre for you. And this one is a little more relaxed and conversational. Like I said, Hallie has no idea what I picked.
Nope.
I found this on a list of things. Honestly, I did not know about this. So you might. And nope. So if you know anything about it, when we start talking, you say something because this is wild.
Yeah, I feel like I'm not going to know. I think you gave me like a tiny bit of information. And I was like, I don't know what that is. And I didn't look into it.
Oh, yeah.
Surprise.
Well, I was, right? I was going to be more generic, too. But then I saw this and I saw what the history of the town was. And I was like, woof. Okay, well, it's the town we're covering because today we're traveling to Nevada.
Okay. This is our second time in Nevada.
Yeah. Right? I could definitely get down with some of that warmer, drier weather right now. Mm-hmm. Emphasis on the warm, maybe not the dry. My skin is like...
already too dry.
Yeah, exactly. It's looking like a little Nosferatu-y right now. The hype notes that I have for you. So maybe, I don't know. We'll see what you think. A small community that began as a mining town in the early 1900s, saw its fair share of macabre history. The town was built around a cemetery, setting the tone for the rest of its history. Plague, fire, and a clown motel? What? Oh, yeah. Join us as we talk about the big history of a little town called Tonopah, Nevada. That's what drew me in, people. The clown motel. I was like, okay, I'm intrigued.
It's a place I never want to stay.
Well, wait till I tell you about some of the stuff that's in there.
Oh, no. Now I know, like, if I don't know if it still exists, but if I ever have to drive through, I'm going to be like, we're not stopping here.
Right. It's a small town, but, like, it's got some shit going on. Okay, let's start from the beginning and we'll end with a big crescendo. Tonopah, it's kind of old, but not as old as you might think. It was actually founded in 1900. The legend goes that there was just a guy passing through with a donkey called Jim Butler.
The guy was legend. Jim Butler, or the donkey was Jim Butler?
The guy. I wish it was the donkey.
It would be funnier if it was the donkey.
We can call the donkey Jim if you want. Yeah, I like that. We'll call Jim Butler the man, Jim the donkey. Well, apparently Jim and Jim Butler were traveling through this little land, and Jim was pissing Jim Butler off real bad. And Jim Butler, being an asshole, decides that he's going to pick up a rock and throw it at Jim. And because he was really frustrated with Jim, because Jim was being a real jackass. But apparently, when he picked up the rock, it was so heavy that he's like, this is so not like a normal rock. So he looked it over and he realized there was some silver tones to this. A lot heavier. Sure enough, he had stumbled across a little bit of silver ore.
Nice.
Yeah. I don't know what happened to Jim, but Jim Butler sure did flourish after that. Butler originally had collected a certain amount of land and leased it for royalties for people who wanted to come and mine. So multiple mining companies came to the area and started setting up shop, including one called the Belmont Mining Company, which might sound familiar. They're a pretty big company. They were technically founded in the area in 1902. And Tonopah then grew up from that thriving mining community. Now, we've talked about mining communities on this show before, and we know that it's not really the greatest of places for anyone involved. And we're definitely going to talk about why. A year after Jim Butler threw a iron or silver ored segment of rock at Jim the donkey, the cemetery was built. And that sets the tone right away. The cemetery actually has some well-known true crime people buried in it, which I kind of want to dig into for later because it's a very interesting story. Who do we have in the cemetery? It actually shut down 10 years after it was built. There's a lot of history in there. So a lot of victims from the 1905 Tonopah Plague, which we will talk about in a second, are buried there. And many victims from the Belmont Mine Fire were buried there. Yes, there's two fires, unfortunately. The first of which being in 1911. And we will talk about that as well. There was a sheriff named Thomas Logan who was shot while he was trying to save some people from a local brothel. He was buried there. If that doesn't say how the town has been going, it's thriving, but there's a lot of mischief going on. I'm just picturing typical Western town from a Hollywood movie at this point. There was a lot of murderers like George Devil Davis, who was allegedly the first African-American man in Tonopah, and he had actually murdered his wife after shooting her to death. And then there were a lot of prisoners that were also buried in the cemetery. Who else is buried here? This is the person, or people, I should say, that I really want to dig into because they sound very interesting. Never heard of them before. Among the buried, there is two women, but the most famous of which is Bina Veralt. Have you heard of her? Or Veralt?
No.
Yeah, I haven't heard of her either. But she is very interesting. So she's from New York, or was from New York, and she made national headlines after her and her friend, who in this article remain nameless, so we'll have to dig into that, made a pact to become wealthy. And so they played widows and like seduced other men and took all of their jewelry, their money, and swindled a bunch of people. And in today's value, they stole over $2.5 million.
Wow, that's pretty incredible for the time. They knew what they were doing.
Oh, definitely. After people started catching on to what they were doing, Bina ended up running and ending up in Tonopah, where she died of alcoholism later in life. So very interesting, to say the least. I kind of want to dig into them because it sounds like a very interesting Bonnie and Clyde situation. No, I'm not getting sick. Okay, so why don't we talk about the Tonopah Plague? The Tonopah Plague took place in 1905, like I mentioned earlier. And this one is really weird, like kind of like freaky. I can't really find a lot about it or, you know, what it really was. There was just this weird, terrible disease that was sweeping through the town in 1905. And it started with chest pains. And then it would lead to death within a number of hours.
Oh, that's so fast.
Yeah. And like people were like, what is going on? And then they were getting it and then they were like dead. Nobody could figure out what was going on, which is why it never really truly had a name. It just kind of the Tonopah Plague stuck because it didn't really go anywhere else. And dissections ended up being carried out by people in the town. And what they were discovering was this really horrific scene going on in the liver and the lungs of these people. And all they could do, well, I mean, and look at the time we're talking to. All they could do was describe that specifically the livers of these people would be completely black and hard like a rock. And you're like, what?
And that's not due to alcoholism, right?
Right.
Right. Does that have something to do with the mines?
And that's what I was wondering too, because it's like, was a chemical in the ore or whatever was digging up in the mining getting leaked into the water supply and people were drinking it and it wasn't being able to like filter process through out. The liver? And
yeah.
That's what I'm thinking too. Because otherwise, it's like, I've never heard of anything like that.
Well, in the lungs, it would make sense for the lungs too. Like if you...
Yeah.
Well, a lot of times there's gases and stuff that come out of the mines that could be deadly. But it would just depend on proximity and how much of it there was. So that's really weird.
Yeah, so weird. Well, like we've heard of the black lung, you know. So... Oh, yeah, that would not surprise me at all. And sometimes when you dig for the first time within the first like few years, that's when you're stumbling upon some of the most gaseous and poisonous things down there, if there is some, you know. Well, according to some of the reports that are listed to today, you can look into these articles online. They had kind of come to terms with just giving up. They ended up boiling it down to it's probably pneumonia and poor sanitation, which definitely poor sanitation, because at that time, was anybody getting any good showering? Perhaps not. And you're in a mine. Good luck getting all that out at that time.
Yeah.
Not long after that. We're talking not even 10 years later. In 1911, we have our first fire on docket for Tonopah, and this would be known later as the Belmont Mine Fire. In the early hours of February 23rd, a fire was identified deep within the Belmont Mine, and newspapers of that day reported it starting at the 1,166 foot level. Okay, it's in the mine. It's okay. It's deep. You know, we can see about taking care of this. There was a man called Big Bill Murphy who was among the men who volunteered to go down and load up the miners to get them out of there before it could really start venting and tunneling through the hole where the wind would definitely get it ignited. And when he went down there and returned to the surface, he would have a cage full of rescued men with him. And for a second time, he went down, and it was now so smoke-filled that he couldn't see anything, and he really couldn't rescue any more people. But despite the fumes, he was so determined to go down a third time just to try. And it took a little bit longer for the cage to return to the surface, and eventually the cage did emerge, and it was full of men, but not Bill, unfortunately. Which is so sad, and it's like he just wanted to try one more time. One of the semi-conscious men that had been loaded into the cage said that someone had fallen out of the cage upon the ascent.
Oh, no.
And oh my gosh, can you imagine that? Especially not being able to see?
No.
Oh my gosh, no. And some people speculate that person that fell out of the cage was actually Bill.
That's so sad. Which
is, it is so sad. It's like, oh. One person recounts that the last thing that he said to him before he got them in that last third round in the cage, he said, "Well, boys, I've made 2 trips and I'm nearly all in, but I'll try again." So he was wanting to go down a fourth time after that because he felt like he felt encouraged after that third round, being able to actually get to people again. In total, 17 men lost their lives that day, including 28-year-old Bill. He was only 28.
That's also crazy to me, but think about the time. 28 back then was like 50s. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you'd lived a long life at that point.
Right. He's buried in their cemetery in Tonopah. And his headstone reads, "Died while saving others." Mm. Big Bill. It's like, oh. There is a monument that still stands in Tonopah outside the post office of him. And there's also a mural depicting his funeral procession on the side of a bar called El Western. That's kind of cool that they remembered him in that way. But it's like, oh, it breaks my heart.
Yeah.
And then, unfortunately, the second fire was in 42. Same thing. It's from the Belmont mine. And there were so many fires. And of course, we know from talking about this stuff in the past, there wasn't a lot that they could do. There weren't a lot of safety measures. It was just something that happened. Well, this one was almost as bad as the one in 1911. And there was a man named Clarence David who had died. And he was also buried in the cemetery. And Clarence David is important in this case because, of course, a lot of other people died in that mine fire. But why does Clarence David stand out? Well, if Clarence David had the macabre morsel side to his life at the end of an episode, it would be the fact that he had an immense collection of clowns.
Oh. Uh-huh. Hey?
Uh-huh.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Why?
And this is... I don't know, especially for that time frame. You're like, what? Where are you getting that? I don't know. But Clarence David is immortalized now in, you guessed it, the Clown Motel.
That's so creepy.
Huh? A little weird fact about the Clown Motel is it was built right next to the cemetery.
Yeah, that's two things that don't need to be near each other.
No, I know.
It's a bad 80s movie waiting to happen.
Yeah. Oh, just you wait.
Oh, no.
Maybe there was a movie made.
Oh, no.
Uh-huh. Well, we'll get there. But in 1985, Clarence David's children built this motel to memorialize him and use his clown collection to theme it around. Get this. Out of the display, and we'll talk about how many are in this motel, but out of all of the things displayed in the hotel, there are still 150 of Clarence David's original clown collection there.
That's a lot.
That is a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just wait till you know how many out, like, oh, total no. there are.
Well, I'm sure at this point people probably contribute.
Oh, I'm more. Sure they do.
Yeah.
I'm sure they do. I apparently to according to newspapers and the town records, it became an instant hit and it would actually bring people to town and really spark up a revenue for them. Mm-hmm. So good for them. So 10 years after Leah, Nora, and Leroy, Clarence David's children, had built it and got it all set up, Bob and Deborah Perchetti bought it. And they were very mild-mannered people. They had a lot of passion, and they dedicated a lot of their time to this motel. And they really were the people that got this thing going. It looks like you're on the outskirts of Vegas when you pull in to Tonopah. Very flashy. It's got a big sign. You can't miss it. He's been dedicating, like, he dedicated over 2 decades to this thing. I need to read you the description of this because, yeah, I'm just going to read you the description. And I want to know if you would stay here.
I can already tell you the answer.
I know I wouldn't, but I feel like I have to end this episode by telling you a funny story about my brother. But okay, we'll get there. Currently, it has past owners once again. There is now a Las Vegas chef that bought it off of the Perchettis. His name is Vijay Mehar. And the current count of the collection is over 3,000 clown figurines throughout the motel.
No. Oh, man.
Yeah. And they have a ton of painted murals in, like, the hallways, the main building, and then in the rooms on the wall.
And people actually sleep there?
Yeah. People covet the area, I guess, when they go. No. Which I'm like, what? And apparently in one of the rooms, one of the most recent murals that was done was actually of Pennywise. And it basically in the room, it's him basically staring at you while you're laying in bed.
No, which thank like, you.
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
No, yeah. Thanks. Yeah. I don't know about that. Just interesting things. It's still a thing. You can go stay there if you dare. If you do, tell us about it.
Or if you have.
And send pictures. Yeah, oh. Or if you have. Send us pictures. Some little ditties. Macabre morsel side now of this hometown macabre. Apparently, the convention in the town of Tonopah actually created Jim Butler Day as a celebration. But what about Jim the Donkey?
I know. Well, good for Jim Butler, though.
Yeah. Yeah. He's included in the tourism bits now, I guess. Jim, but not Jim. Poor Jim. And apparently in 2015, Ghost Adventures went there. And apparently Mr. Baggins brought his crew to the Clown Motel to film an episode. It included a visual sighting of a dark silhouette allegedly inside the motel. And there was a voice that was allegedly heard saying, "Hello, it turned on." And then famously there were spirit boxes being used, and allegedly in one of the filmings, on one of the crew's cameras, there was a large clown that was kind of off center and moving its leg entirely on its own accord. Like it was, no. After the episode had aired, Mr. Perchetti, who is the second to last owner now at this point, said that it really took the business off. Now everybody wants to stay. With people from all over the world donating their clowns, books, their places that they would recommend for creepy, spooky things. And the motel is starting to grow into something a little bit more spooky. Which brings us to our next bit. there was allegedly a little comic book created about this place called I Lived in a Clown Motel. There was Clown Motel, the film that came out a year after Zach Bagans and his crew went there. And it's reportedly to be a short film. And the plot is the group is stranded in the middle of nowhere. And a group of young people seek refuge at the Clown Motel when there's nowhere else to go.
Sounds terrible.
Oh, I know. And yes, apparently they unwittingly unleash an evil clown spirit while they're there. But the Perschettis ended up selling it to Mehar in 2017. And at that point, I don't know if I blame them because of all of the hype that it's getting now. That's a lot.
Well, it's kind of smart, though. They made their money when it was probably worth the most.
Right.
You know, to them and just get out. Exactly. Yeah, not deal with all that craziness.
No. I mean, real clown town, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But then in 2019, we thought we were done with the films, but we're not. The same guy that did the first Clown Motel movie did another one.
Because you have to do the sequel.
Oh, yeah. Why not? You know, because the first one just wasn't enough. This one, catch the differences in the plots here. It says, quote, a group of ghost hunters encounter a group of Las Vegas partygoers at the Clown Motel, where the ghosts of clowns turn everyone's stay into a violent nightmare, end quote.
Okay. I think I need to see that movie.
I know. I kind of wanted it just for shits and giggles. Just like, oh. But yeah, so now to this day, the Mehar family owns it. He's still a chef in Vegas. And apparently people are still coming all over the world to visit and donate their collections to this motel. And it has actually become a very famous motel worldwide. Yeah. And so apparently Tonopah is still thriving because of a clown motel next to the cemetery. I mean, the end, I guess.
Oh,
that's
wow.
Tonopah. Just wild. Wild.
I mean, yeah, you hear a lot about mining towns going under and becoming abandoned and ghost towns and stuff. So I guess good on that guy for having a fetish for clowns because it saved the town.
Right? It's just, you think about it, you're like, if this is a small town in Nevada in the early 40s, where are you collecting a bunch of fucking clowns from?
Right. Well, I mean, the circus would have been pretty popular back then.
Yeah.
But still, who was producing these clowns? Were they...
Yeah.
Coming from international places? Were they all locally made in the U.S.? What?
I did take a look at some of them, and they definitely look like they're from different places. Now, some pictures and some resources will give, like, different, oh, this is Clarence's collection, or this was a donation. So it's like, okay, well, which ones? But there's some really old ones that I think are Clarence's. There are a couple that are kind of walled off, so nobody can really get to them. They look like they've been through a lot. Traveling, all kinds of shit. Yeah. And before I take us out, you want to hear about this embarrassing story that my brother's going to kill me about when he hears this on the show?
Yes. Of course I do.
Well, I laugh so hard and it's still a thing and he's going to hate me. But back in the day, remember when the first remake of the first movie of It came out?
Like, so what time frame were we talking?
Like early teens.
Maybe.
Okay, like summertime, you know. And I was so excited to go see it, and I had taken my brother out for his birthday, and normally I like to take him for dinner and then we go to a movie and then we do like shopping or whatever he wants. And we were at a restaurant that was connected to this one movie theater. And I was like, well, what do you want to go see? And he's like, well, I don't know, actually. Like, I'm down for anything. I'm like, well, it's your birthday, you know, you got to pick. And he's like, well, what's out? And so I told him, and I was like, oh, It sounds really good. I've wanted to see it forever. And he's like, oh, yeah. Yeah, it sounds really cool. And I'm like, okay. Like, he acted like he knew what It was. Apparently, he didn't know what It was because we No, granted, I mean, this is the remake. And we're, like, not even 15 minutes into the movie. And Georgie is, you know, chasing his boat. Mm-hmm. And, you know, then he comes across Pennywise. And the whole arm thing happens. And my brother is white knuckling the sides of his seat. And I'm like looking at him and he's on the edge of his seat, like doing one of these. And then after that whole thing happened and it cuts to a more mild scene, he leans over to me and he's like, this has fucking clowns in it. And I was like, yeah, that's kind of what it is. And he's like, I fucking hate clowns. So the whole movie, I was like, do you want to leave? He goes, no. You know, because he's, you know, an early 20, you know, some man.
Oh, you're talking about the 2017 version.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, not so very much, like, very much more recent than I was thinking. I was like, did I miss a movie in between?
No.
You know, like the 80s version and now? Nope. That's more recent than I was expecting. I thought you were meaning like your brother was like little.
Oh, no. That's what makes this even funnier. He was like early 20s. Big dude. Just really intimidating. And then he's like sitting there white knuckling his chair. I didn't know this was about clowns. Just, oh my gosh. I was busting a gut the whole time. So like, love the movie. But nothing, I didn't have any jump scares because I kept side-eyeing my brother to see what he was going to do. And he kept fucking jumping. I was laughing so hard. I had to go see it twice.
Without one just so you could watch it.
Without him, yeah. Because that was entertainment. Whose birthday was it, really? Mine or his? Poor guy. It's probably the worst birthday of his life.
So you're saying that if you ever snuck a life-size clown doll in his room while he was sleeping at night, he might murder you later. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was tempted once to put a singular balloon, a red balloon, in his room when he lived with me for a second. And I was like, but I'm like, no, I better not. That's really me. Big sister mentality. I can do that. It's fine. I can't anymore. He's growing up. He's a big boy now. But yeah. That was funny. Oh,
man, yeah. Clowns are a no for me.
Yeah. I'm okay with them. I'm not afraid of them, but I'm definitely like, I pass.
Yeah, I think there's just something eerie about them and the makeup and the way the facial expressions are and what's hidden underneath. And then my mind always goes to John Wayne Gacy. There's just no way. There's just no way around that for me. We'll talk about that in the future at some point.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I just always have that association with clowns. You just can't shake it.
It's not good. It's not good. Ugh. But that's what I've got. Tonopah, Nevada. Have you been there? Have you been to the Clown Motel? We want to know if you have, and we want pictures if you have, too.
And Would You Rather is going to come out of this at some point. Would you rather stay the night in the Clown Motel or
the cemetery in Tonopah?
Rather stay in the cemetery, thanks.
Yeah, same. I don't think I'd want, like, a painted clown on the wall staring at me while I was trying to go to sleep. Ugh. No thanks. Yes, Would You Rather's coming up very soon. I'm very excited for that. We've had a lot of content this season that is going to be so good for Would You Rather's. So I'm excited. We're going to laugh so hard. Oh, but until then, I'll take us out. I'll take us out of here. I told you it was going to be short, cozy, conversational today. So if you like what you're hearing, again, make sure you're leaving a rating and review. But if you have any stories that you'd like to share with us, we also want to hear from you in that way too. You can contact us at thatsomacabre@gmail.com. You can go to our website and check us out at macabrepod.com, where you can just kind of see what we're about, you know.
We do have a contact form on there as well, so that'll go directly to our email.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty cool. You should go check it out. Also, before we forget, we have put a post on the Facebook group page, but we want our listeners to really hear it loud and clear. So you can use the website or our Gmail account to let us know what you want. But hey, Y is coming up, the letter Y episode, very soon. So we need to know what you want to hear, because guess what, people? Y is for you, pick. Because we love you. We like to hear from you. And we like to deliver. So, please do that. Facebook, email, website, whatever tickles your fancy. Let us know what you want. It doesn't have to start with the letter Y either. That's why it's called for you, pick. So, that's what I've got. Thanks for hanging. It's been fun. Clowns and such, you know.
Till next time.
Till next time. We love you. Have fun. Be safe. Be kind. And we'll shock you later. Hopefully shock we shocked you this time with Surprise Clown Motel.
Didn't see that coming.
Yeah, you didn't see that coming, did you?
Bye.
Bye.
When you get the Planet Fitness Black Card, you can bring a friend anytime you work out. And now through March 13th, get your first month free when you join. You heard that right. Conquer the stair climber with your partner in climb. Enjoy a post-workout recovery session in the hydro massage. And do it all again with access to any of our 2,700 convenient locations. So, you coming? Get your first month free and all the perks with the PF Black Card for just $1 down, $24.99 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends March 13th. See club for details.